Jenny Finch, author, creator of The Drowners and Death of the Elver Man, and general Renaissance woman, your host for the Book of the Month.
This month's book is Bare Knuckle by Ian Lennox. Ian Lennox's latest book sees him return to familiar territory. Set primarily in and around a vaguely contemporary Newcastle, it follows the story of Harry Bennett, a failed football apprentice, who becomes first a club doorman and then is drawn into the seedy world of bare-knuckle fighting following a night in the boxing booths at the Hoppings. It is also an unlikely love story as Harry tries to forget the sweetheart of his youth and then falls for a girl who despises boxing. As his fame spreads, Harry attracts the attention of some increasingly dubious people and he finds himself in grave danger as organised gangs and criminals seek to challenge or exploit his ability.
His last memory of this meeting was hearing her sobbing as he walked across the road. He shut the curtains to his room and curled up on his bed, embracing the dark. Her last words had been, "You'll be married in a year." He was astonished at how little she knew him. He told himself that for the first time in months, he had emerged victorious from the battle they called a love affair. But in his heart, he knew that could not be true. For how could it be so when night after night he lay on his bed, curled in misery, like an addict trying to kick a drug? He avoided her after that. He told his mother to say he was out, which was usually true. He refused to answer the door, lest it was her. Notes fluttered through the letterbox. He tore them up, unread. He left the house by the back door into the lane and returned by the same route. It was only on the day he left for good that he used the front door, carrying a rucksack. He glanced at her house and saw a bloody mother step back from the curtains, seeking the darkness of the room like a vampire. What a tale she would have when her daughter returned from her posh school. Nevertheless, as he walked towards the bus stop, he knew that he had merely won a battle and Abby had won the war. She had got rid of him, which, in her heart, was what she wanted. When they picked up their lives once more and surveyed the wreckage, she would be relieved. And he? He would still be waiting for the pain to dissipate. It never left, not entirely. There were months when he never gave her a thought. And then her ghost returned with the power to hurt him. He tried to write a song as a cathartic exercise. It began, "Do you ever think of me? Do you wonder where I am?" No music came with the words, so he tore it up. So much for putting on a brave face.
Lennox draws on his experiences as a journalist in the Northeast in many of his books, and he uses his local knowledge to good effect in Bare Knuckle. Harry lives on the fringes of society. His job, his fighting skills, and his unfettered lifestyle all edging him towards the senior side of life in Newcastle. Despite this, Lennox's hero manages to remain a decent man. He steps in to rescue the weak, detests bullies, and has an eye for damsels in distress. Not the brightest of characters, he is easily manipulated and acts rashly on occasions. But this helps to make him a more likeable character and elicits the reader's sympathy.
It took seeing Janine again to make him realise how much he'd missed her. Abby was his tempest, capable of creating turmoil until he retreated, exhausted. He had never left, merely hid from her. But Janine soothed him like soft sunlight. The thought that someone had threatened her both alarmed and angered him. He was both excited and apprehensive at the prospect of dealing with it. Excited because this was one of the few fights that had motivation, and apprehensive because he didn't know where it would end or what would be left at the end of it. All he knew was that this was a fight he wanted. He'd intended to spend the evening at home, but decided to give a second viewing of Notting Hill a miss. He doubted his mother would notice his absence as she spoke along word for word with the dialogue. He took a cab up the West End and arrived at the Wild West as Neil was starting his shift. They went through to his office, which was furnished with a small desk, a telephone and a huge punch bag that hung from a chain driven to a beam in the ceiling. Harry took a punch at it and sent it bounding out towards the desk. "Careful! That desk is an antique!" Harry examined it. "By antique, you mean old. Yes, you do know there's a difference." Neil sat on the edge of the desk. "It's also very functional," he said defensively. Neil noticed the bag was still swinging and decided to change the subject. "I see you still pack a punch, then." "I train every day now." Neil gave him a close look. "Aye, you've put on some bulk." He looked back to the heavy bag, which was still creaking in its ropes. "They have limited use, the bags. Good for punching, but they don't help you read when a punch is coming." "How so?" "Well, they're so big you hit them without really looking. Now, when you're squaring up, you should take in an opponent. Note the movements of his head, his eyes, his fists, his hips, and his feet. The good ones know when a punch is coming." Neil gestured to the punch bag. "These things promote laziness. I used to draw little squares on the leather for the face, the stomach, and the rest." He reached into a drawer and pulled out a small bottle of lager, which he opened by breaking the bottle top on the edge of the desk. "Of course, you don't have to bother with that stuff. You just get stuck in, and it's all over." Harry grinned at the compliment. Neil took a sip from his bottle. "Years ago, I was like you. Took on anybody. Big reputations, it didn't matter. I found it was dangerous. Not the idiots who came into town looking for the main man." He looked at Harry and saw he was listening closely. "The danger is from the organised gangs. That squabble you had is one thing. That would just have got you mob-handed. The real danger is if you start affecting their profits, drugs, protection rackets, and prostitution. They'll kill you."
A prolific writer, Ian Lennox set his first novel, The 60s Man, on Tyneside. Published in 2004, this is a romantic thriller that recreates the city of Newcastle from the 1960s, but contains many of the elements used in Bare Knuckle. His other works include The Net, which examines corruption in football, The Brothers, and Gentlemen and Players, which were the subject of a previous Book of the Month. It is a very male world Lennox has created in Bare Knuckle, and although the main characters have some background, allowing them to appear at least plausible, none of the women seem very realistic. Even Harry's two loves, Abby and Janine, are rather flat and lacking any real sense of autonomy, and their emotions and motivations are driven by their relationship with Harry. A large number of women parade through the west end of Newcastle, most of them solely there for Harry's amusement, unless they need his protection. This takes away from the realism of the novel, as the love element does not totally convince. This is a shame, as the story is good, and the book offers a rare glimpse into an often hidden world.
Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com. Probably the best download decision you'll ever make.
Being selected by Jenny Finch and her team for the Book of the Month is quite frankly one of the pinnacles of any writer's ambition. Don't ask me how I know this. I just do.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
You're listening to Jenny Finch, crime writer, scholar, and commentator, with another classic Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting.
Marvellous. What can we say? Ian Lennox back again. He's become the almost go-to annual author, apart from yourself, Jenny, that we always keep coming back to and saying, it's another Ian Lennox book, yay! Or do we say yay this time? Or do we say something else? Rob Nichols, what are your thoughts on Bare Knuckle?
Oh, I enjoyed it, actually. It's not a world that I had any wish to know much about, the world of bare knuckle fighters. But I suppose it's a bit like, well, Jenny said that some of the female characters weren't realistic, but has she not watched Geordie Shaw? It's kind of like a pre-Geordie Shaw, you know, I don't watch it, but hasn't one of them become a wrestler now as well? It's interesting.
I completely forgot about the 15 minutes of Geordie Shaw I've watched in my entire life, but you're quite right. During that 15 minutes that I once watched on ITV2 of aforementioned Geordie Shaw, you're absolutely right. I wonder if Ian's actually been a secret fan.
Ah.
Because their life revolves around nightclubs and then going back to their base.
And having relations.
Yeah.
And wandering through the big market wearing only a T-shirt in the snow.
And a belt, possibly.
But that guy that's become a wrestler, everybody watches him on the phones and everything, so it's interesting because that's something that develops through the book, isn't it? That everybody... Yeah. Harry becomes famous because people are watching his fights, which is, I thought was a different world, but maybe it isn't. I didn't think that existed, but maybe it does, maybe it did.
I'm well aware of cage fighting,
which
is one of the brands that works through. In fact, one of our correspondents, Lou Bevan, his son is an award-winning cage fighter and prize champion.
Right.
The bare-knuckle scenario, I think we've seen it demonstrated, certainly in a whole range of movies and so on. But yes,
Fight Club.
Yeah.
That's from that? Did you say that's... I didn't notice that. It's from...
Vaguely contemporary.
Right. It was early 21st century.
It's hard to pin it down because there are very few indicators to say exactly when it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm certainly thinking it's probably early part of the 21st century
because of
the notions of YouTube and the way that things...
Yes, that's right, So people do have phones and do have the technology.
It is Jenny's show, so I have to ask her permission for this next little segment. But I did, and I think you're putting a review on Amazon as well, actually, Rob. Oh, have you put a... anyway, you might do that.
I think I've done a review somewhere.
I figured at the end of the day, look, I've read it online. It's only available online, which is one of the reasons we're focusing on this particular routine. And I gather the current edition will also be revamped and repackaged, possibly on the basis of this review. Who knows? No, the actual story is going to stay the same. I think there's going to be a few tweaks to the proofreading about the other bits and pieces. But Jenny, with your permission, I will read my paragraph on Amazon. The reason I'm saying this is I know Ian was like, can you send me the link? He's never going to find it. It's been amazing if he can find it. Sorry, Ian, he'd be able to listen to this show because he specifically said, let me have the show. I gave it 4 stars. Okay, so it's a question of testosterone. The Ian Lennox universe continues to expand and the legacies of his past work emerge here in a combination of masculinity, machismo, and moping. The male characters are well-defined archetypes of a bygone 20th century age of patriarchy with breathless brooding always close to the surface. Regrettably, the female protagonists tend to come across as stereotypical male fantasies running the gamut from adolescence to sainthood. Overall, well worth a look, especially for its insights into the world of illegal fight games, a novel which could easily serve as a template for a Guy Ritchie movie.
I wouldn't disagree with any of that.
I certainly did feel when we got into the Russian mafia at the end, and there is a lovely switch. I don't want to give any spoilers here, but from when they head off to Tenerife?
Tenerife.
Actually, is it the switch? You kind of see it coming, but it's almost as though it's kind of almost opening up a whole new other novel. And I talk about the Ian Lennox universe. I would make a suggestion that why doesn't he actually try and, for his next opus, incorporate characters or descendants or relatives of all of his previous work if they're still functioning, from the brothers through to Gentlemen and Players and so on. And that might be a possible way in which, we've got the DC Expanded Universe, we've got the Marvel Expanded Universe. I'm still working on the Jenny Finch Expanded Universe. It's all right, Jenny, we've only known each other for so long. And in terms of the whole sort of scenario, I mean, Jenny, were there any of the characters that Ian's writing that if we actually had that wonderful mashup, which would be an awesome in its own way, as Terry Pratchett and Stephen Baxter, would you actually do an Ian Lennox Jenny Finch or a Jenny Finch and Ian Lennox system? Death of the Elverman meets Alex Hastings meets Harry, when actually he ends up somewhere in the wilds of the West Country.
Well, if he ends up in the wilds of the West Country, if you read Smoke and Adders, he's going to miss Alex because she's headed to the northeast.
Exactly.
So I think we're on a hide into nothing if we do that.
there's definitely a sort of round robin thing on that sort of basis. It is clearly a world that we kind of have heard exists, know it exists, and I think the Geordie Shaw reference is very much to the fore there, Rob. Which characters kind of warms to you? Because we're talking about Janine, talking about Abby.
Yeah.
I certainly found Abby the less believable of the two. I'm not saying that Ian's put in a bid for the Bad Sex Awards of 2017, but it was a bit clunky, I felt.
We don't really understand her motivation, do we? But she sort of kind of wants what she can't have, and then and then when she has it, she doesn't want it anymore. I suppose that's something that people go through.
On the flip side, I mean, there were what I would consider to be a number of LOL or laugh out loud moments, which I thought worked quite well for me in terms of, I thought the way that the mother of Harry was actually portrayed.
Yeah.
Was very effective, and I thought that was good to actually work through for that.
She watched the films, didn't she?
Yeah, watching and also reciting along with Love Actually. And
I like the fact that she had one new word every day.
Yes. Obfuscate. That was a good one. So in fact, I've used obfuscate recently with one of my postgraduate students, and I don't think he's quite understood what obfuscate actually means.
No.
He said, elucidate rather than obfuscate was the actual phrase.
Very good.
Favourite characters for yourself, Jenny?
I also like Harry's mother, and I have some interest in Janine. There wasn't enough of her there for me to really get a proper grasp on her, but I thought she was certainly the most sympathetic of the females.
Yeah, more so than the mother?
She has potential moving forward,
yeah.
Which I would like to have seen, actually.
Yeah, Abby kind of lost her potential in some ways.
Absolutely. Really. She was a typical aspiring middle-class bitch, quite frankly.
Is it Michelle Keegan who's in Geordie Shore? Not that I'm actually equating the two things. Is that from somebody completely different?
I don't know.
Reality television. Maybe Ian doesn't even watch any reality television. We'll have to find out in the fullness of time. And no, he's not actually a guest mystery voice on the phone, etc. So, Rob, given that we are based in Middlesbrough, commenting on a fantastic Newcastle-based author who, as I said, he should celebrate the fact that Newcastle have won two championships over the last decade or so. So they have won trophies.
And clubs actually do feature very, very, if you think of the football culture in Newcastle, clubs always come into it. They're always quite central. And in fact, one of the guys who runs one of the main fanzines in Newcastle, he's been a head doorman, famously. He always says he was in Newcastle. And also has a lot to do with boxing promotions and even like, ex-gangsters from London bringing them up. And it's a different world, but it's obviously a world that really exists in Tyneside.
And credit to Ian for doing his research. I think we've always said he does do his research, but he also pulled on the skills of Steve Black, trainer of Johnny Wilkinson, amongst others, who was a bouncer, a doorman, a security guard.
Mm.
So he kind of had some insight knowledge there. Arthur McKenzie, obviously. Glenn McCrory, whose fist you actually see on the front cover, which we'll see on our Facebook page before too long as well from that point of view. If I was pushed, though, I'd have to say I prefer The Brothers. I still come back to that as my favourite Ian Lennox book, followed closely by Gentlemen and Players, then possibly The Net. And then I think this sits somewhere around The Net and as a kind of... It's got promise, it's got potential. As I said, a really workable Guy Ritchie movie, or kind of the movie that Guy Ritchie used to be very much known for, whether it was Snatch, whether it was Layer Cake, whether it was the bare-knuckle fighting that we saw in Sherlock Holmes. As an area there that could be developed and so on. However, much as we hate to do this, and even though I gave it 4 stars on Amazon, I'm going to go 7.5 for my mark. That I've actually said it, you know, straight out there. 7.5,
you did, yeah.
Reasonable from that point of view. Jenny, where are you going to pitch it for yourself?
I'm going to pitch it at 7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Rob?
I'll go for 7.5 as well.
There we have it, you see. So he's they've got into the promotional playoffs when it comes to the whole sort of sequence here. Sorry. sometimes Ian agonises about Newcastle and he says it's only because the other clubs have more. He should celebrate the joy of Mike Ashley. I'm sure he's a fine chap, but still. next month, Jenny, we will be moving on to consider a completely different genre and an author who sadly is no longer with us.
No. Next month's book is a science fiction classic by the late, great John Brunner, and it's The Sheep Look Up.
You're listening to Jenny Finch, crime writer, scholar, and commentator, with another classic Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting.